On today's episode, we sit down with Omar Al-Majali, host of the One Day Pod, a leading podcast in business, self-improvement, and guest-focused content in the Middle East. Omar shares his inspiring journey of leaving corporate life to pursue his passions in media and acting. We'll explore his philosophy, his habits, and daily challenges in making his dreams a reality. Plus, we ask him a signature question from our game: what do you secretly enjoy? Stay tuned till the end for his hilarious answer. Welcome to the Fail Forward Podcast, where Dan and Adnan peel back the onion on our guest stories and on each other, all in an effort to change the narrative of failure. Enjoy the show. All right, guys, welcome back to the Fail Forward Podcast with Adnan and Dan. Today, we have Mr. Omar Majali with us. Welcome to the pod, Omar.
Thank you guys for having me. This has been in talks for months, and here we are.
Yeah, I'm glad we got it to happen, and you know, it's already a pleasure to have you on. I'm super excited for our discussion.
I'm happy to be here, and I met you guys in person, and we had some of the most profound conversations I've had in my life, and I'm just excited about this one.
I still remember the first time we met Omar, though, at Podfest Dubai 2023 or 2022, was it?
2022.
We ended up sitting next to each other, and I think out of all the people I met there, you were the most warm and friendly and open person to spend time with.
Thanks, man. I mean, I was kind of like an awkward loner. I've been trying to, you know, I'm like, I'm an outgoing person and I'm an extrovert, you know, but for some reason, when you put me in networking events, I'm just not that great. You, on the other hand, were incredible. The way you would network and you'd introduce yourself to people and stuff like that. I'm great in social settings, but if you put me in a networking event, I can be a bit awkward. But you know, me and you, we had an instant connection.
Yeah, man. And it continued. I think we went to my friends, your friends with Raj as well. Then we connected afterwards with Dan. So yeah, yes. It's been a pleasure. Like just, you know, doing things together.
100%, especially that we both kind of were on similar journeys and we connected on that as well. So
yes.
And
that's honestly, go ahead, Dan.
No, I was going to say, before we go into that profound, let's rewind it back again. Before we get to know more about you, Omar, as well, you mentioned that profound conversation we had. So I've got a question around that. What made that so profound, that conversation we had? Because I have my views, but I agree. The first time we met, it felt like I'd known you for years afterwards.
Totally. I think because, I mean, you know, me and you were considerably strangers at that point. But 30 minutes into our conversation, 30 minutes into our conversation, we're talking about some, you know, some deep, dark secrets. Not deep, dark secrets, but like some baggage that we're carrying. And we connected at a vulnerable and at an emotional level, because we were both going through similar experiences with some family stuff. And you know, I always say it, there's healing in sharing. And when you shared your story and I shared my story around that in particular, I thought humans, we need to be more vulnerable because everyone's going through the same universal themes and pains. And Adnan also shared what he went through with his, you know, with his loved one. And it was just a beautiful moment that we shared, everyone going through these universal themes of pain and suffering. And it's always great to hear about other people's strategies on how they're able to navigate it. So hearing your story and how you dealt with it helped me. And that was, in my opinion, the profound aspect of it, the vulnerability of it all.
It was like authenticity at its best, wasn't it? We just all kind of like, you know, hearts were on our sleeves, and it just, the conversations opened up straight away. But it's so refreshing having conversations like that as well. And I don't think people are used to having those types of conversations, let alone Dubai or anywhere else. It's just like you meet someone and you're kind of reserved, and it takes time to go through the layers and to really get to know someone. But I think, yeah, that conversation we had that day, you know, I said just before the podcast that it was almost like there was no one else in the restaurant. It was just us on a table, just having a chat, and it was just a good conversation. And that's why I was excited to, you know, keep getting to know you more.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Now, Omar, we've not only had similar journeys in terms of the challenges and, you know,
pain that we've gone through, but the leaps that we've taken too, and the vision we have for our future. And I want to start us off there. You had, you know, your corporate job in a company that, from what I've understood, you did enjoy. You were working with a good team. You're in a good city. But I think you had this vision for something you wanted to create for yourself. And at a point, it came to this a time where you said, okay, I need to take the leap. There is a risk associated with it. There is a span of time where I have to, you know, trudge through challenges, pain, and difficulty to make it a reality. Amongst the different things that you're building, one of them is the One Day Pod. I want to ask you kind of what was the One Day Pod has a philosophy behind it. And you've talked to me a little bit about that. And of course, please do share a little bit more on the pod. But I want to know how the philosophy of the One Day Pod trails through your own life and the things you do today.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So the One Day Podcast is something that I've started 2 years ago, I think a year before me taking that leap. And leaving corporate, which we'll talk about. But yeah, the idea behind the One Day Podcast is I'm someone who listens to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of the podcasts that are at that point in, I would say like mid-2020, were mostly foreign podcasts, nothing from the region. And even back then, you talk like 2 years and a half ago, now there's an explosion of podcasts in the region. Everyone and their mother is starting a podcast. But back then, I struggled to find podcasts that would share content from our region. And the podcasts that I enjoyed listening to were, you know, those hybrids of personal development, but, you know, talking, you know, basically anything to do with success stories, but humanizing the success story. And the podcasts, and then I kind of did my research in the region, and I was trying to find podcasts that I could learn from and I could grow from and that could teach me business skills. But also I'm someone who connects with stories if there's a human side to it. And it just, I found that a lot of the podcasts from the Middle East at that point were mostly either super business oriented or super gossipy oriented, with no necessarily like professional element to it. So that's where the idea to start my podcast came from. I thought I wanted to start a podcast where I can host and have these incredible success stories from the region. But I want to humanize the people behind these titles and behind these success stories. And the idea behind it is to show people that those humans who have accomplished whatever they've accomplished are not better than me and you. They're just people who have done things right. They've mastered a certain formula, or they've mastered a certain habit. They've acquired certain skills, and you can do it too. So the whole point of my podcast was to tell me about, you know, you as a successful human. Tell me, how did you get there? And tell me about your you know, your falls, your dark moments. And because sometimes in success stories, all we hear about are the triumphs and the headlines, but we don't hear about what's below the iceberg. So yeah, and that was kind of the trigger for me. I'm like, okay, I enjoy listening to a lot of podcasts, but I can't find that podcast. I enjoy connecting with people as well. I love to talk to people. I'm always invested in people's stories. I kind of go deep very soon after you meet me, if you allow me, you know, if the space allows for it.
Well, we so did like, it. So we've been there.
That's what happened to us, right? and that was the trigger for the podcast, and that's why I started the podcast. And now I'm on season 3, and it's been quite the journey.
Yeah, there's real power in sharing stories, isn't there? That's what I found.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean we are wired to be attracted to stories, because that's how we survived as human tribes in the past. We'd sit around the fire and we'd tell stories. So our DNA and our biological system is prone to listening to stories. That's how we survived. So when you tell a story, or when you connect with a story, that's the kind of thing that sticks with you. That's the kind of thing that moves you and, you know, connects with you at a limbic brain level, that emotional brain. So yeah.
Yeah. So Omar, you could have kept doing the podcast while having your 9-to-5. What changed or, you know, evolved in you over that year that said, hey, there are these other things or this larger vision I want to work through that requires me stepping away from the corporate job?
Yeah. To be honest, it's been a journey, man. I would say it's been a journey of 4 years of me starting to ask these big questions of who am I? What's my purpose in life? What am I trying to achieve? Am I on the right path? What is the right path? Is there a right path? You know, I started asking these questions. And and that was the point when I also started to get into the world of personal development and spirituality. And I started listening and reading books of thought leaders in that space. And I got into meditation a lot. And meditation has helped me so much open up my mind. And I'll tell you how kind of that fits in, because people think meditation is all about calming your nerves and de-stressing and all of that. And yes, it does have these attributes. But to me, what meditation has done to me, it allowed me to understand the engineering of my mind and who am I. And it allowed me to sit with myself and differentiate between the noise and the internal voice. So it's been a journey for me of kind of spirituality and getting into personal development, because I felt like I was out of alignment. At that point, I was working for a government entity, super prestigious government entity in the smart city space. I had an incredible team. I had an incredible mentor of a boss. And that was kind of my second job. My first job was in consulting. And I did well. Honestly, the corporate world, I did well in it. I could see myself excelling in it. I just understood the rules of the corporate game and I played it well. But something inside of me was looking for something bigger. I just knew that's not my path. You know, this corporate path is not my path. And I've always had these big dreams for myself and these big passions. And every time, you know, commuting to work every single day, I swear to God, I would look out of the window, the back of the Uber, and I would think to myself, you know, I would think about these, I would daydream about these dreams and passions of mine in filmmaking and acting and you know, that entertainment world that I've always been into as a kid. And I'd have a feeling of sadness and grief, because I felt like every single day that passes and I'm not pursuing these passions, I'm getting distant from these impulses, and it's becoming more of a memory versus a potential. And that killed me, going into office and sitting on the desk and just doing things and basically running by other people's deadlines. And although I was working on some massive projects and they were exciting and I did enjoy it when I was in it, but something in my heart felt like I wanted more. I also just kind of looked at the mirror and I knew that I could be more than the place and the space that I was playing at. And, you know, it starts as a seed, as a thought, and then that thought, you know, it becomes a small plant, and eventually it became a tree. And at some point, I just knew that I had to take the decision and to leave Dubai and the corporate world and not look back for now and pursue whatever I want to pursue.
So before we talk about what's going on now, what does Omar look like in 10 years from now?
I hate these questions. Because there's so much pressure. I mean, I don't know, man.
Well, when you said you were in the back of the Uber, and yeah. I almost pictured like you're driving away and you're looking in the rearview mirror, and it's like, in a weird sense, your future self is behind you, just sort of...
Totally.
What did that person look like, that figure? You know, where was he? Where was he stood? What was he doing? Who was he with? What's that vision that you're kind of aiming towards?
So, I mean, I sat with myself a lot and I contemplated on that question. And before I even asked the question of what is my vision, I asked myself as to what is my why in life and what's my purpose and what's my calling. And I realized that my calling would have to do with inspiring people, educating people, raising the consciousness of humanity, and entertaining. So that could manifest in so many ways, right? A manifestation of that is the podcast. And that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm sharing these stories of successful people to inspire people. So that's one manifestation of it. But I could also, that could manifest in me being in the entertainment acting business, acting in movies that have a cause and a message behind. That could help inspire people or move them. You know, these movies that you go in and you leave, you're not the same person because there's a scene or dialogue or something in the conversation that ticked something in you. I've always wanted to be part of that change, you know, to connect with audiences at that level and be able to move them and inspire them in some way. So I would say in whatever I do or pursue, the purpose has to be to inspire, to educate, to raise the consciousness of humanity, to remind people of their potential. So that could manifest in me just pursuing acting. That could manifest in the podcast. And the podcast, and right now I'm also thinking of what the next evolution of the podcast is. I'm thinking I want to take it to the next level. But I'm not sure how that is going to evolve. But anything to do and play in that space, regardless of the format, is when I think I'd be leading a fulfilled life.
Nice. Do you think you'll be in any particular place? Do you see yourself like, do you have like a bit of a dream for being in a certain space that you've always wanted to reach, or like place to live or work from?
Yeah,
global citizen, whatever.
I want to live in 3 to 4 places a year, ideally. Okay. Ideally. So obviously there's Jordan, where I'm at right now. That's hometown. So I'm obviously going to be coming here for visits and to reconnect with friends, family. So Jordan will always be a part of that, but it'll be sprinkled throughout the year. I don't necessarily envision myself having that be my official base. So there will be Jordan, there will be Dubai, because I just love the city. I really love Dubai. I've had a love-hate relationship with the city for the longest time ever, but my last few years in it, I've realized how much I love the city and how much it offers. Once I started to focus on the you know, what the city offers versus what it lacks, because you'll never be able to find the perfect city to live in. There will definitely be Bali in there. So the first thing I did once I resigned from my job last year is I went on a solo trip for 3 weeks in Bali. I went on a retreat and then had 2 weeks to myself. The retreat was like a breathwork, meditation, yoga retreat, and then 2 weeks of just me solo tripping, meeting people. And I connected so much with the energy of Bali. I'm someone who is very spiritual. I do believe in the world of energy, and something about that island stuck with me and resonated with me, and the people and the energy of it all. So I would say there's definitely Bali in there, Jordan, Dubai, and maybe I would leave one quarter of the year where I'd explore new cities. I've always wanted to live in LA as well, just because of, you know, the history of arts and culture there. I've always wanted to be in that space, and when I visited, I loved it. But I'll tell you for sure, Bali, Dubai, Jordan, obviously, and then I would leave that fourth quarter as a joker. Mm-hmm.
So Omar, like, through all the stuff you've done, it sounds like you have a really good attitude towards taking risks, but also like failing and learning from it. In the environment you're in, be it with your family and your friends, how does your environment's perception of the things you're doing affect or not affect you?
So one of the biggest things that I had to work on, and I did it through therapy, and I kind of did it through self-contemplation and meditation and all that stuff, and that deep work, that's kind of what they're calling it now, the deep work, the inner work that you have to do on yourself. One of the biggest things that I had to work on and unlearn is the just being a people pleaser or doing things for other people. Because I realized that a lot of what I was doing, and that was kind of the crisis point for me. I had too many crisis points during my career where I was like, what the heck am I doing? One of them was when I had just graduated from college and I was in consulting and I was studying for the CFA, that Certified Financial, I don't know what the A is, I forgot. Yeah, the CFA exam for you to get certified in the world of investment banking or private banking or whatever. And it's such a tough exam that requires a lot of work, a lot of dedication and commitment and hours that you need to put in to study for it. And I remember when I was studying it, asking myself, what am I doing? I studied finance, but I hate numbers. I studied finance and economics, and I'm not sure why. It's I do know why, because I wanted to prove a point to my father or to my family that, you know, I'm taking courses that are prestigious. So I was studying for the CFA exam, and I realized that that's not what I want to do. And I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I actually got sick from the amount of studying that I was doing. I wasn't going out. I had a vitamin D deficiency at that point. And while I was studying, I'm like, I'm just going to study for it, go for it, and just pass it. Just because when I start something, I always have to finish it. But then I'll make a decision as to whether I want to continue down that route after or not. And that was my second attempt, and I passed it. And after that, and once I got the CFA level one, there are three levels to it. I passed level one, and I just knew once I got the result that it did not mean much to me. What meant to me was hearing my father's reaction on the call when I told him that I passed it. And I just realized then, okay, then that's, I was definitely not doing it for me. I was doing it for the people around me. And that was kind of the driving decision for everything I did in life. I studied finance and economics. I couldn't tell you why, you know, but in retrospect, I'm sure that I did it because I thought that those would offer me the prestigious jobs that would allow me to look in a certain way around my friends, around my family. But I hated finance. I hated numbers. So one of the biggest things that I had to work on, and I wouldn't say that I got there, but I would say I was able to unshed a lot of that weight, was just what people think of me. Today, honestly, I would tell you that if it was at like 98% caring about what people think about me, today it's around 20%. So I'm at a point right now, or 15%, and I'm still working on it. Fear of judgment is something that we all have inherently in us. I don't know if I'll ever get to zero, but I'll tell you one thing.
You can't walk around naked, dude. That people will look at you funny. If you need to care a little bit, there is coming a shed somewhere.
That's a great point. It's like I've gone through a similar amount of deep work, and you realize that I'm more of like a zero or one type of person, but it's been taken time for me to realize that I can't just say, oh, I don't care at all, because then I'm just the asshole. Like, fuck you, I'm doing whatever I want. I don't care about your opinion. You know, I'm in a good mood, you're not, I don't care. Right? You have to mold yourself to the circumstance and the environment you're in, be it friends, family, new networking events, right? Like, you know? You got to carry yourself differently and care about the people differently based on the environment. So,
but listen, they're not mutually exclusive. That's the thing. They're not mutually exclusive. Like, people think that, oh, if I care about myself, that I'm not going to be able to take care of the people around me. It's actually when you're taking care of yourself and you're listening to your inner voice, trying to be the highest expression of who you are, that's when you are showing up in your full potential in the various roles that you're playing in your life, as a brother, as a sibling, as a friend, as a husband, as a partner. You know, you're making these people a favor by tuning in with who you actually are, not faking it, not hurting it, you know?
This is a really interesting topic as well, because again, everything you talk about, Amar, I just relate to in so many ways as well. And I had like a big ego back in the UK. 4 years I've been out in Dubai working on myself, unlearning things. And I try to think now that I don't care about what people think of me as much. I still do, but not as much. You know, think to an extent where during COVID, I just started shaving my head. So I'm not going to go and get a haircut anymore. And then actually, I just carried on shaving. I think I don't really care what people think anymore.
I like your hair.
And the other thing is dirty car as well. So Dubai, it's a big thing. Everyone gets their car washed all the time. And Adnan probably sees mine sometimes. I've got a black Ford Explorer 4x4. And it's always just covered in desert sandstorm, because I live out in the desert. It's always a nap. And I'll, you know, we'll go off for a weekend and I'll say, oh, I just take the 4x4. And Daniel's like, I'm not going in that. I'm like, why? The state of it, you know, I'll pull up to a car park and a guy will run over and say, do you want your car washed? I'll say no, and they go, but why? Look at it. I'm like, I don't care, it doesn't bother me, so why should I care what everyone else thinks?
100%.
But it's those, yeah, we do battle those day to day. But then it gets taken the other way, where, you know, if you're working on your own craft and if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to like represent your brand and your personal brand, a lot of people say you need to turn up the best version of you. And that's when you do need to care about what people think. And I think that balance of, you know, people like your Bill Gates and your Zuckerbergs that can wear whatever they want. They can wear just no branded clothes and like they're blending with everyone else. Well, they can afford to be because they're billionaires. But, you know, what about the rest of us that are striving towards whatever goal we've got? Should we, you know, turn up the best version of ourselves and really care about what people think? And yeah, I'm kind of at mixed opinions with it. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on why. So why are you caring for people's opinions, I guess? Are you caring for people's opinions for validation, or are you caring for people's opinions for, you know, for an alternative purpose that has nothing to do with validating who you are or whether you're, you know, enough or whether you're doing the right thing or not? Honestly, I just, that's, I feel sad when I see a lot of potential in my friends that is being restricted because of culture or because of expectations or because of family pressures, because everyone has this divine, godly spark and potential in them. Everyone, every single human. But for some, and a lot of, actually not some, for I would say many than not, that potential unfortunately is never realized because of the systems that we are in, because of the noise, because of the expectation and the pressure. Exactly. So it depends. I guess it depends. I mean, if are you trying to, why are you trying to please others? Is it because you want to fit in? Is it because you want validation? Or is it because you're trying to build a brand, as you have just said? So I guess it's kind of, what is the energy or the driver behind that?
When things I've, like, there have been a lot of times, and I'm sure you've seen in your own life, Omar and Dan, is when you've leaned into your weirdness or an odd or a crazy action that you want to do, a thing you wanted to say to someone, it has historically always drawn people to you. At least I've seen that in my own life. And then you realize that none of us are doing the world any favors by stepping down to the level of the average human. And the world sees that. So, like, all I tell myself is, your weirdness is good. Lean into that.
I agree.
Yeah, that's going another step further, isn't it? Because that's about what you say as well. I mean, we were just talking about then about image, but that's about, you know, should you care about what people think about you with your opinions and what you say? And I've realized this recently. I've had my granddad over from the UK. He's in his 80s. He's traveling the world now. He's literally living his best life. He's got this kind of, yeah, this new life where he's now single and he's 80 years old and he's going out to South Africa and playing golf. But his filters have been removed. And I don't think he really cares what people think. And my mum will be like, oh my God, he said it again. But he doesn't care. Like, he'll say what he thinks. And I kind of respect that as well. And I think, well, why don't we all do that as well?
I know. If you think about it, we are unfiltered either when we're too young or when we're too old, you know, before the conditioning starts kicking in.
Or
right?
After the conditioning stops mattering.
Exactly. Because when you're too old, you're like, you start realizing the systems that have been driving us and these conditionings, and you're like, F it, right?
When you're too young, you're not even aware. Yeah. Yeah. Or you're just so close to death that it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm going to be gone in a year.
Yeah.
What does that person not liking me matter?
Exactly. You know, the deathbed experience. I don't know if you've heard of that, but there's a deathbed experience or like a deathbed meditation that some people do where they kind of sit and they imagine themselves dying in their deathbed. And, you know, you ask yourselves questions around, have you lived the life that you've wanted to lead? Would you change anything else if you had to, or if you could go back in time, what would you change? And yeah, people meditate to that because when you are, is it your grandfather that we're talking about? Hopefully he lives for 20 and 30 more years. But yeah, when you're at that age, you're right. Because you realize that you've lived a sufficient life in conditioning that it did not, you know, it wasn't worth it to be that conditioned, that restricted. You know, you realize things as you grow older, you realize things and you realize these systems. And you're like, I'm going to be me. Things are simpler. Things are simpler as you get old. But to your point, when, like, Adnan, when you said lean into your weirdness and people would resonate with that, honestly, man, 100%, I swear to you that once I started just becoming more of who I am, my relationships with my friends, with my family have deepened. Everything has changed in a positive way. And whoever is, you know, meant to stay in your life and in your circle as you operate at a different vibrational frequency, at a different, you know, a more authentic version of yourself, those people are the ones who are supposed to be there, right? Those are the ones, and those who just fall off the face of earth, these are the people who are meant to fall off the face of earth. A byproduct of you becoming who you are is, I would say, deeper connections with your surroundings. honestly. Yeah. People start to get
those time to get those cards out, Adnan, I reckon, after that. That was
okay.
That was a good conversation.
We play a little game on the pod that we've started now.
Right.
Have you heard of the School of Life?
School of Life? No. What's that?
It's a company that provides books, online tools, and resources for people to live their best life and really discover themselves and do some deep learning.
Right.
So as a part of that, they sell books, but they also sell games. And this is one game called The Meaning of Life. It's a card game for those listening in.
It's my kind of game. The Meaning of Life.
it's got to resolve around a bit of fun, hasn't it? And this is a good fun game that we thought we'd start introducing to the pod.
Do we have 3 hours?
I mean, we're running this game too with previous guests. So
yeah, we're gonna stop recording at 5:30 tomorrow. Is that all right? We're gonna go full 24 hours.
Honestly, The Meaning of Life. Pause. We could talk about that for hours. Just the title of the game.
it's a good way to get another episode with a guest, isn't it? But yeah, stay tuned for next time that we talk.
100%.
I think honestly, at some point, we're gonna do like a whole episode just with this game. So,
and maybe
we can do a panel of multiple guests.
Oh yeah, like lots of a big virtual, and then we go right. We're gonna go to number four. Who's number four? Yeah. I wanted to tell.
Yeah,
you know, what's your meaning in life?
Either. No one's doing that. Hey,
one day / fail forward collab. I can feel it.
I definitely can see it going somewhere.
Fail forward one day.
Ooh, nice.
Okay. So these all contain questions that
okay.
Omar, I'll have you answer first, and then we can either pick, Dan and I can either pick another card, or I can also answer the question. That's totally up to you.
So I could plead the fifth on some of these questions.
No, just one question.
So one question, you can choose to answer it, or if you want to pass, feel free to pass, and then Adnan and I will go, oh, we're going to answer this as well, or we'll just choose another one between us.
Okay.
Cool.
No, there's no prizes. There's no prizes. Just to make that very clear.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yet, oh, yet, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Say when.
I should say stop.
Yeah, just say stop.
Stop.
Let's see what this card is.
Okay, so for all the listeners, Adnan's just got the pack of cards and he's shuffled through until Omar said stop, and he's now about to reveal to the screen. Omar, if you read it out.
What do you secretly enjoy? How secret are we talking?
It's up to you. As secret as you want it.
The secret is a safe space, but bear in mind there will be listeners.
I do have a big guilty pleasure. I'll tell you that. That is reality TV. Like white trash reality TV that is just meaningless. You know? I enjoy watching a lot of reality TV. There's something about putting people, because I'm someone who enjoys observing, and I do find a lot of the good reality TV is an incredible social experiment, like Survivor, right? You put people and then you deprive them of food, and there's a prize at the end of the day, and you can see how with the wear and the tear and the passing of the days, how we become more animalistic. But Survivor is like, you know, I would say the top tier, kind of the elite category of reality TV that I watch. I'm embarrassed to mention the others, but I do enjoy watching.
Give us one other.
Give us the bottom feeders on this category.
Go on, you heard it here first.
Okay, so from the list of things I watch, what do I want to share? I've dabbled with the Real Housewives.
Ooh.
Bravo TV, everything Bravo TV puts out there, since I was a college student, I would be into. So like there's something called Summer House, and there's another show called Below Deck. Just like, you know.
Oh, so the life of the crew. I know someone on Below Deck. That's my little
really?
Claim. Yeah.
So I just watched
someone else. I don't really know them, to be fair, but.
Because, you know, at the end of a very heavy day where you're doing a lot of thinking, sometimes I just want to put something in the background that is super entertaining without having me to think or even be emotionally invested. And yet, still, I do find it to be entertaining from how weird some of the stuff you know, that comes out
I get that. And I must admit, I can switch on. I don't watch TV, honestly. I don't really, really rarely watch TV, but my wife does watch a lot of, like, you know, these shows. And Love Island. Have you heard of Love Island?
Of course. I've watched a couple of seasons. Actually, this is something that we watch here. It's big.
Oh, so I try and stay away from Love Island. But if I sit next to her, she say, do you want, you know, drink, sit down, we'll have like a bit of a date night, or sit and chill, watch TV, I'll watch it. And then I cannot wait to watch the next episode. I get so sucked into the characters. And I'm like, I missed it last night. What did they do? What did they get up to? What are they doing? And I know. Become a bit of guilty
pleasure.
There's
something addictive about it. Something addictive about it.
Oh, yeah. I think Jersey Shore was that for me.
Yeah. Jersey Shore. I love
that show, man.
The good old days, man. That was a classic. That was a classic.
That was like what got me in. I don't know if I do spend that much time anymore. My guilty pleasure on the video side is YouTube videos about like airplanes and stuff like that. Just like videos about airplanes and not cool stuff. Just, hey, an airplane dealing with turbulence while it lands. Or like things like
that. You have like an airplane fetish? And that's fine.
It's like a spotter type thing, isn't it? Yeah, you get quite into the details, don't you?
I have a friend of mine who's fascinated with, you know, having that, you know, that airplane app that shows you what, you know, what plane
Sky
is flying.
Scanner, yes.
Flight scanner or whatever. So I have a friend of mine who's just obsessed. At every single opportunity he could, he'd pull up his phone and be like, oh, this is going to Malaysia. This is coming from Thailand. This is going to, I don't know where. He loves it. So yeah, I do get it.
Yeah, that's exactly that. I am also your friend.
Yes.
You've just reminded me as well. So I'm going to answer this question as well. And in the spirit of weirdness, I'm going to reveal my secret thing that I enjoy. But there's someone I want you to check out on Instagram. I'm going to send you both a link. There's a guy that I've been following on Instagram. He's a train spotter. And he's just such like an engineer, kind of really analytical mind. But he loves trains. But he films the excitement of him. Like, he's like, right, he's a British guy. I'm on the track and here it comes. Here's the train. And you just see the excitement. And he's like living his best life because this rare train's going past. And it just fills you with like this absolute, what am I doing in my life? Why am I not spotting trains to feel like that? Because he doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly. That is such an incredible, inexpensive hobby or interest, right?
But he's now like got 2 million followers from it, and he's probably making a lot of money from it as well. So do what you love.
Honestly, that's when I think to myself, when people are so super tuned in and aligned with what they love and they're just unashamed of it, unapologetically, they just go for what they want. For some reason, that is contagious. That is contagious. And people are drawn towards you. Back to Adnan's point of like, you lean into your weirdness and your unique whatever ability or skill, and people see that.
And the beauty of this is, especially with social media being connected with the world, yeah, maybe if you're obsessed with train spotting in, I don't know, Dubai isn't a great example because we don't have many of those here, but in a specific, like let's say in the US or in Europe, yeah, in your small vicinity and geography, you may lose people because they think you're weird, but globally you realize that, wow, there's at least a group of 3 million people that love this as much as I do.
And exactly. Exactly. Spot on, man. Some of us are just more similar than different.
Yeah.
Like, we're all part of the human family.
Exactly. So wait, Dan, I still want to know your secret enjoyment.
Yeah, and the more that we pause after I said that, the more that I want to refrain from telling everyone.
Dan, it's too late.
You know, in the sense of like your weirdness and things, there's a reason why. Yeah, so Danielle used to watch a lot of TV, and she used to watch this show called EastEnders, and I used to do everything I could back in the UK to avoid watching EastEnders. So I'd go and do the dishes, and I'd wash up, and I would just spend my time washing the dishes in the kitchen because that gets me out of EastEnders. But I used to love putting on headphones, putting on like a trance tune from back in the day, and just crank it up, and I would literally rave like no one was watching in the kitchen washing the dishes, and I'm like literally busting out moves that I wish I had everyone watching, but in a way I wish no one watching. And I do it now, and I'm in Dubai still, I'm in the kitchen late at night, and I'm making the kids, you know, lunches for next day, and I'm listening to a tune with these headphones on, and there's dog walkers walking past, and sometimes I see them just look in staring. I'm like, dance like no one's watching.
What's wrong with that?
But I love it. I think, you know, we don't have those moments enough where you just get lost in, you know, a favorite song or something. And yeah.
Man, you got to gamify that chore, right? You're gamifying it by making it fun. You're listening to something that you enjoy doing and kind of makes time pass.
I have a challenge for you both, Dan and Omar, in relation to this. Have you heard of the Chinese? I think it's called the Chinese fire drill. And you're basically in a car and you're listening to all the music that you love. And you go get to a red light or a stop sign. And you get out of the car with the music on and you just start dancing and do a circle around the car and get back in. It is a perfect exercise to realize that nobody really gives a shit about what you're doing.
If anything,
the car behind when you don't go at the green light, that's the only problem.
I bet you're going to put a smile on a couple of people's faces when you do that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So that's mine. In fact, there's a thing in the UK as well with a radio show where they used to do this thing where they used to honk a horn and they would they would say, like, on the count of three, if you're stuck at traffic lights, you got to go like, bah, da, 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 and like honk the horn for ages. And there's everyone around the UK just honking the horn. And people that I'm there doing it on the way to work, people are like, what the hell are you doing? And some other people you see at the traffic lights on national shows, like,
hey, it's a fun collective experience.
So, what about you, Adnan?
I was going to say heavy metal music, but you said yours. No, you didn't say yours.
You just.
No. I mean, Jersey Shore. Yeah. So it's relatively simple, but it's weird. I really have a satisfying feeling from stickers. Like, I love playing with
stickers. That does sound weird, but I really want to know more.
Exactly. Yeah, elaborate.
It's just simple and silly, right? Like, there's some fascination and just, like, I feel good. And I don't really know how to explain it, but it's like almost the same satisfaction when you're drinking a Coke. It's like, oh, that's sugar. So it's that feeling of like pressing your finger against a sticker and pulling it back.
Oh, and I have stickers.
Like,
yeah. Just pushing against it. Exactly. Because I was going to ask you, like, what about stickers is fascinating for you? Is putting it in certain, like.
It's very hard for me to explain, but it's just, I get some innate enjoyment from that feeling of pulling my finger off and back on it. And it's gotten to the point where in my head I have a grade point like level of different stickers.
It's like a tiered system.
There's an
entire there's method to the madness. What is that?
Stickier the better, I guess. Is it like in grades? No, 3M. You need a job at 3M.
You want a sticker? Exactly. I should. 3M, hire me. Sponsor this podcast.
But, do you have a collection of stickers around you that is accessible that you could show us just a bit so that we could visualize maybe a bit of that?
I usually have a set of one or two on my bed, but I've run out today, so it's going to be a problem.
It's fine.
But I'm gonna chase, Dan, to your please. Point, it's got to be relatively thick, like high on the stickiness scale, but low on the residue on finger scale. You see what I mean?
There's a whole like formula to it. Wow. Okay, yes. I get it. I completely get it. But no, I mean,
I haven't shared this with many people.
I have no idea what you mean. But I kind of, yeah. So the only thing I can relate to is when I was at school. You remember the glue when you used to do the gluing? I used to put glue on my hands, on my, you know, my fingers. And then I used to pick it off. I spent like picking it off, and I go, oh yeah, picking glue off your hands and stuff. That was cool.
I used to like the smell of glue. And some I once even tried
to lead to some very strange places.
Wait, what glue?
Like, you know, the yellow glue. So, there was like a yellow branded glue.
Yeah.
It had a nice smell. And I even tried eating it as a kid as well. This conversation is going definitely to weird places.
I love
this. It's just very weird.
Just to close us off, I would recommend that the next time, Omar, you're traveling to Dubai, take one of those small, you know, barcode stickers they apply to your checked-in bags and try that out. I'm going to try that out.
I'm going to film myself trying that out, and I'm going to share with you. Adnan, I'm part of your tribe right now.
You're going to be that train spotter guy that just
films yourself with stickers, and Adnan's going to be like, damn it, I knew I should have got there first. It's like millions of followers, like, what if you stick things to
me? Should have started the sticker YouTube channel. You know, just sticking stickers everywhere.
I never thought about that, but you might be onto something, Omar.
You might.
So
be
I've got a friend that's got a phobia of stickers, like horrendous phobia. So post-it notes,
yeah,
freaks out.
Really?
He's moved to New Zealand now, not to get away from post-it notes. They'd still have them there, probably. But my mate played a prank on him once where he covered his entire bedroom with thousands of post-it notes. And I think he just walked in and they just shut the door and they're everywhere. And you could just hear him go,
what the heck? That's
horrendous. Wow. But yeah, that's stick it, dude. Who would've thought? Post-it notes.
Yeah.
Crazy.
This has been great. But I do want to be conscious of time, Omar, for all of us. I want to end off with one question. You've made a lot of changes and implemented a lot of different strategies in your life to kind of become more in tune with yourself.
Yeah.
What would you recommend as one habit that someone can do for 5 to 10 minutes every day consistently that will drastically improve their mindset, their life, and their level of calm within their world?
I mean, I typically start off, I think it's just my morning routine. I don't know if you guys read the 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma. He has the 2020 formula that says or suggests that the first 20 minutes of your day should be in moving, and then another 20 minutes in contemplating or reading or contemplating or praying or whatever, and then another 20 minutes in reading or learning something new. And that has been my, I would say, I mean, obviously I do it for more than an hour, but I would say my morning routine of waking up, meditating, and sometimes journaling, then going to my workout while listening to a podcast or an audiobook. So I'm learning, I'm moving, and I had just finished a meditation session. That and waking up super extra early, these were the things that have started to create change in my life. Because with meditation, again, comes the observing of all the noise and all the distractions and all your stresses and grounding yourself and starting off your day from a more centered point of view. Then you go on your workout and you feel like you've accomplished something. Endorphins is running through your veins and obviously all of that happens before work when I used to work. And then I would always listen to something. I've been listening to so much podcasts and audiobooks while I work out that now I struggle to listen to music. I've gotten used to the pace of listening to content. And I actually take notes. I have a Google Doc with every single book or podcast that I listen to. I pull up my Google Doc and I take down notes of everything that I listen to make sure that I'm actually focused. But yeah, generally what I would say, the biggest habit for people, or the biggest, I would say, life-changing strategy for me was just self-contemplation. I think sitting with myself and giving myself the time of day to ask these questions of, you know, who am I? What am I trying to do? Am I aligned? Am I out of alignment? How do I figure that out? What is it that I want to do if I want to leave whatever I'm doing right now? Just ask yourself these questions. I think people they live such busy lives that they don't give themselves the time of day, and they're just plugged into the world and they're not plugged into themselves. So I think that in however format it could manifest for people, whether it's in journaling or meditating or therapy, it could manifest in many ways, but it's that self-contemplation, that inner, looking inwardly versus outwardly. Because the more you grow inwardly, the more you'll be able to express yourself outwardly and be, you know, a person who could live a purpose-driven life, who could create impact and inspire others.
Yeah, I love it, Omar. I've loved this conversation again. I think you're a top guy. I think you've got a lot to give, and I think there's a lot that, you know, the world's going to hear from you, you know, with these inspiring stories and everything you've got to give. You're a grounded guy. I think Desperate Housewives might be the secret there. We might have found out. I don't know. Or any other reality show that there is. But yeah, no, I've really appreciated this chat again. So yeah, thank you.
Too. Yeah, of course. No, me too. Thank you guys for having me here. This has been incredible. And one last thing that I kind of want to leave people with is, yes, I took that leap. And right now I'm in Jordan. I'm kind of trying to pursue my passion in filmmaking and acting. I've got an acting gig coming up in a month. There's a lot of incredible things that are, Adnan, I told you I was in a fitting, right? Like it was a fitting for the shoot that's coming up. But anyways, one thing that I want to leave people with is that when you take that leap, and it is scary, but once you take it, honestly, it's not. And once you take it and you realize that you're living that leap, you look back and you're like, it wasn't that scary anyways. However, I would also like to preface this by saying it's also that not that sexy. That world is, there's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of unstructured to it, especially when you come from the corporate world, something that's very structured, something that's very unstructured. So there's fear, there's instability. However, I'm happier. And with this unstructuredness comes room for creativity. So I mean, there's the light and there's the dark in every decision you take, but at the end of the day, it feels right to me. I feel like I'm on the right path, and I feel like super inspired and way happier than I used to be.
I love that, man. It's all down to choice. You've got the ability to choose. Exactly. Love it.
Thank you, Omar, and it's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Adnan. Thank you, Dan, and hope to see you guys very soon when I'm back in Dubai.
Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Find us at Instagram, failforward.pod. If you know someone who wants to be on the show, or if you want to be on the show, give us a shout, DM us, and we'll see you soon.